Welcome to Happily Holistic. I'm Amy Lee Mercury, and I'm a medical intuitive with 20 years of experience. I've written 15 books on health and wellness. If you've had a medical intuitive session with me, you know that the thoughts and emotions within you, what has been passed down from your ancestors, and everything that surrounds you can impact your well-being. In this podcast, we touch on my favorite ways for you to improve your health and feel more joy. We dive deeply into everything health and wellness with a big dash of spirituality and a sprinkle of business. We spotlight the uplifting and the positive and share the secret ways top wellness authors and celebrities get inspired, stay healthy, and enjoy this beautiful life. I can't wait to get happily holistic with you today. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Happily Holistic. I'm so excited to have my dear friend, Dr. Lori Nadel, with us today. Hi, Dr. Lori.
Hey, it's so nice to be here, Amy. Thank you so much for having me as your guest.
Yay! Yes, I'm so glad you're here. So I've known Dr. Lori for a really long time, I guess since 2008. Yeah. She's a prolific author of many books, including The Sixth Sense, which was out in the 90s, and her latest book, The Five Gifts, which we're going to talk about, which is an incredible book. And Dr. Lori is a psychotherapist, and she's been working with survivors of a lot of different things, including COVID, which we're going to talk about today. And she worked with people who survived the 9/11 attack. So she has a lot of really wonderful gifts to share with us. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Lori is co-leading a free online support group for long haul COVID patients that's organized by the Pulmonary Wellness Foundation. And that's pulmonarywellness.org. So if that's something that you might be looking for a resource or something like that, is where you can find that. And Dr. Lori's website as well will probably have some links. What is your website?
LoriNadel.com.
Great. And Nadel is N-A-D-E-L.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so that's where you can find her. And is that your social handle, Dr. Lori Nadel, your Instagram?
It's Lori Nadel on Instagram, and it's Dr. Lori on Twitter, and it's The Five Gifts on Facebook, but I'm not active on Facebook. Or Lori Nadel, you know, you can look me up, Lori Nadel, PhD, on LinkedIn, which is my largest platform.
Uh-huh. She's a LinkedIner.
Yeah.
I never go on LinkedIn. I need to learn the LinkedIn lingo. So I'm so glad you're here with us today, Dr. Lori, and I feel like we have a lot to discuss because it's been such a year. Talk to us first about the five gifts, the book, and just how we might apply these concepts as we deal with the ups and downs of 2020 and what's been happening.
You know, thank you, Amy. That's a really great question. These five gifts came to me after I lost my own home to Hurricane Sandy, which was in 2012. And everything that I built got wiped out in about 20 minutes. And then the ordeal of trying to survive, to get money to rebuild it or to sell it or whatever. Mm-hmm. It really, anybody who's been through a fire or a natural disaster knows what a nightmare it is. And so one day I sat down to meditate because I was wondering if this was going to be what the rest of my life would be like, because it was really, there was so much conflict every single day, you know, hours on the phone. And while I was as meditating, this a voice which has come to me at various times, especially in dreams, that voice said, humility, patience, empathy, forgiveness, and growth. Mm. These are the five gifts that will help you recover from this or any hardship or any disaster and write them down, and please feel free to share them with other people. And at the time, I was working with my neighbors in the Barrier Island, where we were very bad. We were really tragically damaged by that hurricane. And I had a couple of support groups that were running at the city hall and also in a local church. And I started talking about these five gifts. And so they began to kind of, they began to kind of flower, if you will, as people would respond to them. And then it was actually the week that the book was going to print, there was a Parkland shooting. And we donated copies of the book to every teacher in Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do some workshops there based on the five gifts, you know, for the teachers. People always ask me about the kids. I only worked with the teachers and administrators and first responders. But, you know, it kind of started to develop legs at that point. And over the years, since the last couple of years since the book has been out, I really think it was very prescient that I was given those five gifts to share a few years ago, because we're now in a time of unprecedented hardship.
Well, so I was saying how beautiful that during that challenging time, mm-hmm. something, you know, the seed of something was born within you and to you that now has helped thousands, tens of thousands, and will continue to probably help tens, hundreds of thousands of people for a long time to come. These gifts are, like, yes, you said.
I think that I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that we, you know, people talk about, a lot of spiritual leaders talk about, you know, this is a time of transformation and this is a time of, you know, where higher consciousness. And for some people it is. But, you know, the reality is for most people, it's a time of survival.
Yeah.
And when we look at any natural disaster, you know, especially this one, the economic hardship piece, you know, the financial trauma,
absolutely.
Which is something that my book actually has a chapter on financial trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need the gift of patience more than ever.
Yeah, we do.
And patience is, you know, the unbearable gift, you know, especially in our culture. We, you know, patience, we don't want patience. I mean, I don't want patience either. I want this to be over yesterday like everybody else.
Yeah.
But patience is the gift that gives us the grace to say, we don't always get to choose or plan or predict the suffering that's part of every human journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no escape clause. You know, in the first noble truth of the Buddha is that every human journey, every human lifetime involves some suffering.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. there's no magic, you know, there's no magic wand for that. And we're all suffering. And the gift of patience can really help us to be kinder and gentler mm-hmm. to ourselves as well as to others. And I just can't emphasize it. This is an opportunity for us to receive the gift of patience and to especially apply it to ourselves, whether we're sick or we know somebody who's sick or afraid of getting sick.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, because it comes to that, you know, that topic of suffering. And for me, as a, you know, an intuitive and someone who's, you know, talks to people's spirit guides for a living and mm-hmm. talks to my own spirit guides on a regular basis, that's like one of my number one topics of discussion with my guides. Mm-hmm. Even to my guides, my desire to not perpetuate suffering in the system of suffering that seems to be inherent in duality on earth. Mm-hmm. And even like having my guides basically say to me, don't feel guilty or bad that you chose to incarnate and mm-hmm. think that you are perpetuating suffering by incarnating. Outside of your control, and you chose to incarnate for your, you know, the purposes that you chose, but it doesn't even mean that you endorse suffering in the way it exists in duality. So
we'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, it's Amy Lee Mercree.
I'm so grateful to be a part of my medical intuitive clients' journeys of healing and evolution. We're all on our own paths to greater health and self-actualization. In a medical intuitive session with me, we connect deeply with your spirit guides and ancestors and dig into the root causes of what's going on in your physical body, emotions, mind, energetic body, and spirit. To learn more about my medical intuitive work, check out the Work With Me page on amyleemercree.com.
For me, that's something I don't know. I always think about that because that's just part of who I am. But I think for a lot of us who are, you know, maybe looking at this for the first time in our lives because of what's going on in the world, I think it does bring up those existential sides of how we feel about being alive and how we feel inviting.
I think, you know, you've put it very well. I think, you know, globally, this is an existential crisis.
It is.
I think even people who never think about, you know, why am I here?
Right.
You know, what's the point? Are turning inward.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when the outer world gets taken away, or when the external world is no longer a source of support or insight, or when you look at the outer world and you see, you know, tremendous amount of loss and suffering, it kind of, we naturally, instinctively tend to begin to question our value, question our purpose, question, you know, question what our life is for.
Right.
As you know, I spent 20 years, my first career was in newsrooms and as a field reporter.
Yes.
And working in TV newsrooms, and especially before, you know, the digital age, we would get satellite feeds from all over the world. It was like the nerve center, you know, of the planet. And you would look up, one day I'd looked up and there were like 20 television monitors, and every single one of them had a scene of death and destruction. You know, it was bombing, it was a plane crash, it was another plane crash, it was fire. It was children being, you know, pulled out of, you know, some kind of wreckage. It was, you know, women, you know, screaming and men screaming and, you know, I mean, things falling out of the sky. So, and I just looked up and I had this moment of complete stillness and all hell was breaking out. You know, telephones ringing and people screaming and the sound was blasting. And I just went into this moment of this, the zone of complete stillness. And I looked up and I had this thought, you know, is this what God sees when God looks at us? Is this, God's in his control? Is this what God sees? Does God see us, you know, his creations just destroying what he gave us?
Right.
And it was like this moment that this like spiritual wake up call, because in that moment I felt that, you know, I had to use my experience of basically having been bombarded with, you know, working in this machine that feeds images of death and destruction, you know, in the form, you know, as information, to millions of people around the world, that people who had these experiences would need some kind of special support and understanding in order to repair their lives.
Yeah.
And that for me was the bridge moment where I knew that I would have to do something. I was actually being called to find a way to do something to alleviate the suffering or to help people who had been through those kinds of experiences. And I didn't know yet that, you know, I was going to have my own burnout illness that would kind of get me out of that, take me out of society for 2 years. But when I came out of that, decided to go back to school. I did write my book, Sixth Sense, Unlocking Your Ultimate Mind Power. And I went back to school to study psychology and clinical hypnotherapy and opened a practice specifically to help people recovering from life-shattering events and deal with health and stress issues. And I've been in that, it's been my main career for 30 years now.
Right. So, and that's an interesting moment.
I think everybody's having moments like that now. I just think that everybody is having moments like that now, although they may not be able to verbalize them. Mm-hmm. I think people are overloaded. People are reaching that saturation point.
Yeah.
Where, and when you reach the saturation point, your inner self kicks in. You know, when you can't stand listening or watching the news anymore, and you start to turn it off, your inner self, your psyche wants to heal. You know, your body wants to heal. Your mind seeks wholeness, mm-hmm. and it's because of that overload that so many people and many of the people who we are seeing in these support groups are responding to this quote by a therapist, Dina Metzger, that says that a sacred illness is one that causes you to basically examine life from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you, it educates you, and it teaches you things about yourself that you would never have otherwise learned. And and it also opens you up to use that learning for the benefit of yourself and other people. And we are seeing every week as people come into our program, pulmonary wellness, that this is so helpful to people, because they're seeing that even though their body may be broken, and even though they may not be able to walk, you know, from one side of the room to the other, or even though they may be dealing with brain fog, something inside of them is calling them to explore their inner world and to find, you know, a connection to others who are also sick. It's kind of opening up that field of empathy in a way that would never have happened without the call.
Right.
Of the illness.
Right. If they just, you know, had continued the normal day to day. Yeah.
Right. So, and as you know, in other cultures, you know, people become shamans because they have an illness that cannot be treated by conventional means. And during that period of illness, they receive a visitation from spirit, usually a spirit, but sometimes it's more of an amorphous kind of a gateway experience, but it can be an ancestor, it can be a power animal. And through that illness, they are called to take up the path of a healer.
Yes, that was when I was ill as a 18-year-old, that was what actually put me on my medicine path.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you hear that from a lot of people who work in the healing arts in one way or another.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think we also, and I have a chapter in the Five Gifts called All of Nature Speaks. And it talks about the wisdom of indigenous people. And it talks about, you know, this kind of shamanic opening, that it's by, I think the poet Rumi said that it's only by going into the wound that we can see the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, collectively, you know, that we are being given this global wake up call, that we all have, whether we have COVID or we don't have COVID, we all have the opportunity now to go into that soul wound that is part of the suffering of being human. Mm-hmm. And we can explore where we're hurting and how we can develop a sense of connection to something greater than ourselves, which we would not otherwise have experienced if we were just going along, you know, say, oh, Tuesday is spaghetti night and Wednesday is yoga, and, you know, everything kind of went along its predictable path.
Right.
This is, you know, for the collective psyche of humanity, I think it has tremendous potential for us to become a more intuitive and a more empathic species.
And so this dynamic force is definitely moving the status quo here.
Right.
Yeah. And then we're also perhaps in this spectrum of widening gaps in empathy and lack of empathy. So I don't have
we don't know, you know, how it's going to unfold, but it's definitely an evolutionary crisis point.
Yeah.
You know, we're definitely at an evolutionary crisis.
It's a change point.
Right. It's a big inflection point. And, you know, again, you know, go back to, you know, the teachings of, you know, life is uncertain and it's unpredictable and it's not what we expect.
Right.
And, you know, it's a wake up call for each of us to really decide, you know, what values, you know, do we hold to be most important? You know, whenever there's a disaster or crisis where suddenly life goes from being safe to unsafe, at some point people start to look around and they evaluate, well, what really matters to me? You know, what's really important to me? Who's important to me? How do I need to, you know, what do I need to do to live a life that has meaning and purpose? People start to seek meaning and purpose because ultimately that's what helps us to navigate these inflection points
right.
or these crises. And that's all what ultimately what helps us to transcend times of loss and massive death and casualties and illness and fear is to find within ourselves a sense of meaning and purpose, because that resolves the existential question of why am I here? And and that's something that nobody can give us. Nobody can do it for us. Everyone has to find it themselves. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're seeing a real polarization in terms of faction and factions of society who believe that their sense of purpose is to wield a destructive force. And I think that's just going to have to play out until ultimately what I've seen, you know, in many different societies and working in journalism is that ultimately the creative force, the life force, always wins out over the destructive force. And when we look at, you know, even the, you know, the Nazi empire or, you know, the genocides in Rwanda or Cambodia, eventually a destructive energy starts to destroy itself. And eventually the creative force, the need, the biological imperative to create new life and new forms and to create a safe place where we can nurture our young and bring new life into the world, that force will always triumph. But we don't know how long it will take before that that balance is reestablished.
That's a perfect way to put it. We're going to, we've gone long because Dr. Lori always has so much wisdom to share with us.
Thank you.
The end of I always ask everybody if you could send a single message back in time to your 17-year-old self, what would it be?
Life is definitely a surprise and you're going to have a lot of adventures.
I like that. So true. Thank you so much for being here. It's been so nice
to chat with you. Thank you. I love you too. Thank you so much. Take care.
I love you. Listeners, find you.
You can find me at my website, which is laurienadel.com. I'm on LinkedIn, Laurie Nadel, PhD. Those are probably the best places to find me.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for watching and listening. And please take hope because we're all in this together and it is getting better and it's going to keep getting better. So that would be my message to you. Thank you.
I love that. Thank you all so much for listening and have a beautiful day.
Thanks for listening to Happily Holistic with me, Amy Lee Mercree. You can find out more about the show on amyleemercree.com on the podcast page. Please stop by your favorite social platform and leave me a comment. I'd love to hear how you liked today's show and what topics you'd like me to cover in the future. Come find me on Instagram and Facebook at amyleemercree.com. If you would like to see what a medical intuitive session with me is all about, hop on over to the Work With Me page on amyleemercree.com. Until next time, stay happily holistic.